welcome, honorable members, for making it in time. Even if we were to take a decision here, we do have a quorum from one of you present here. And a special warm welcome for Honorable Solif, who is going to brief us about his proposed legislative. You are welcome, Honorable Solif. I don't think we need to waste time. We should move into the agenda items, which I want to believe that every member does have. It is a very short agenda. We may have an early, you know, a break if we do as it reflects on the agenda. We have received an apology from Honorable Kopan, who is having a terrible headache, and she's struggling to find a cure in between. But I spoke to her despite that. I got the report. She's fine. She might join if she managed to get better again. Any other apologies? That's the only apology of Honorable Kuba.
My apologies, Chair. Just to request that if we are not done, I heard you said you would be done quickly, but if we are not done by 10 to 9, I need to go to the presidency. I've got a meeting there, which is quite urgent.
Thank you very much. Honorable.
No, you can't leave. Yeah, just to say, Chairperson, I can also be released at 10. I have an agent meeting.
No test is taken care of. Therefore, in the light of that, let's invite Honorable Solif to take us through so that we try to catch up with time before you can be late on. Thank you. Over to you, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And can I just say, before I proceed, that the apologies made at the last meeting by the whip and members of the committee for what transpired at the last meeting were conveyed to me, and I accept and appreciate that kind of attitude. And I thought the meeting started in a very constructive manner this morning, which I know members' legislation proposals aren't always palatable and we're never always going to agree on everything. So I really appreciate that. Chairperson, I'm not going to spend too much time on the introduction other than to say that land in the former homeland areas is currently categorised as unsurveyed, unregistered state land and trust land, resulting in insecure tenure for the people living in these areas. In addition, the legislation passed to ensure the security of tenure in communal areas, CLARA, has been declared unconstitutional by the Constitutional Court. This may well have been done on a technicality issue. However, we believe that it is long overdue to reform the feudal land tenure practices in communal areas. Chairperson, I'd like to talk a bit about the background. The legacy of colonialism and apartheid legislation imposed strict regulations on the rights to private land ownership for people living in communally held land, especially black people in this country. Specifically, offensive pieces of legislation were the 1913 Native Land Act, the Native Trust and Land Act of 1936, and the Group Areas Act of 1950. Later, under the Black Areas Regulations of 1969, for example, there were only two forms of tenure where were recognized in the former homelands. These were quit rent for surveyed land and permission to occupy for unsurveyed land. While permission to occupy is guaranteed permanent occupation, they were not recognized by financial institutions as collateral and did not prevent the state from unilaterally or arbitrarily evicting people living on that land. And it also represents what Hernando de Soto speaks about as dead capital. In order to reform this precarious land tenure system, Parliament in 2004 enacted the Communal Land Rights Act, CLARA, with three purposes. The purposes are there, but the one that I'd like to refer to is in the middle, providing for the conducting of land rights inquiry to determine the transition from old order rights to new order rights. And this proposal is all about the transition from old order rights to new order rights. In March 2010, four communities occupying communal land in Limpopo went to court. Now, it has been argued before that the court's application and the ruling of the court was based on a technicality in the way the legislation was implemented. However, it was warm bodies and people living in rural communities that actually went to court to challenge the implementation of CLARA. It didn't happen in a vacuum, and it wasn't purely on technicality. Further, the people living in these areas said, challenged CLARA on the basis that it would undermine gender equity and grant authority to traditional leaders who have not been elected and whose interests do not necessarily reflect those of the communities. Now, Chairperson, I want to state upfront, and I've done it on numerous occasions, that we are a constitutional state that recognizes traditional leaders, and the Democratic Alliance and myself in particular respect the traditional leaders and the institutions of traditional leaders, and we by no means want to undermine these, but most certainly we do respect also the rights of individual South Africans. In May 2010, CLARA was declared unconstitutional. The court found that the manner in which the legislation had been passed was incorrect, as it replaced the indigenous law that regulates land occupation, use and administration in different provinces, and therefore fundamentally affected the interests of the provinces. The court also found that there was inadequate consultation with communities and provincial structures prior to the adoption of the Act. Now, I think that that's a very important point. One of the most fundamental requirements when promulgating legislation is that there has to be interaction through public hearings with the people, and the court found that this had been deficient. The next paragraph, Chair, is very, very important, and if you will bear with me, I'd like to read the whole paragraph. The court declared CLARA to be invalid in its entirety due to this procedural anomaly, thus rendering it unnecessary to consider whether the substance of the Act was unconstitutional. However, this did not provide the substantive clarity the country requires. There are two further substantive grounds in which the communities concerned argued against CLARA. Those are the four communities that petitioned the court. Firstly, it reconstituted apartheid-era community boundaries and entrenched existing tribal structures. Secondly, they argued that the Act would perpetuate insecurity of tenure by only titling the outer boundaries of communities and would undermine the ability of local communities to control and manage their land. Finally, prominent academics and a number of rural civic organizations argued that the Act did not take into account the issue of living customary law, practices on the ground, and sidelined ordinary citizens and public rural voices in the process. Now, I want to quote what Chief Justice Sandile Ngobo emphasized in his ruling, and I quote, "Restoration of land and communities that were dispossessed by colonial and apartheid laws and people and communities whose tenure of land is legally insecure as a result of racially discriminatory colonial and apartheid laws must be provided with legally secure tenure or comparable redress." This is also stated quite clearly in the National Development Plan tabled recently in Parliament. And this is a question of restoring existing land that apparently already belongs to the state. Therefore, the scapegoat that the Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs uses for their glacial progress in land reform and restitution, that willing buyer, willing seller is what constrains them, is actually not acceptable. In the green paper of the department, the government and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform's commitment to the constitutional principle of willing buyer, willing seller is neither confirmed nor denied. And Chairperson, this is a major concern for us, because property rights, the right to hold property, movable or immovable, is a guarantee of the Constitution, and if we have a piece of legislation that leaves this or excludes it in the legislation, it will undermine the cornerstone to the right to own property. Chief Justice Sandile Ngobo also emphasized that Parliament should urgently and diligently enact the constitutionally envisaged legislation that will ensure that there is restitution of land to the people and communities that were dispossessed of their land during the apartheid era. This is a the fundamental motivation behind the DA submission of this bill. So, Chair, there is a lacuna. There was a piece of legislation enacted by Parliament that was rejected by the Constitutional Court that was more than 21 months ago, and the lacuna fails to be filled, and we believe that we should move to fill that lacuna by considering this private member's bill. Our proposals then are that the DA submits that legislation which vests ownership directly with the people currently living on communally land be drafted, and that drafting of this legislation is not only necessitated by the finding of the unconstitutionality of CLARA, but also by the need to expedite the process of transferring land historically owned by the former homelands to individuals who reside thereon. We make the following proposals: that all land under question is surveyed and registered in the Deeds Registry as part of a comprehensive land or state-owned land audit, a formal registration process of individual deeds titles, land and buildings must be implemented according to the guidelines set out in the Deeds Registry Act, that rates collection system that applies in municipal areas be applied to communally held land as prescribed by the Municipal Systems Act, as all land in South Africa is wall-to-wall under the Municipal Systems Act. The challenge of collective land tenure in the former homelands is addressed, e.g. by converting collective land rights and other tenuous land rights and land use rights into other forms of land ownership, which places more power in the hands of the people of South Africa and not solely in the hands of traditional or state-appointed custodians, in congruence with the National Development Plan. Tenure of security for communal farmers is created. The NDP states, and I quote, "Tenure security is vital to secure incomes for all existing farmers and for new entrants, and better land use in communal areas has the potential to improve the livelihoods of at least 370,000 people. The DA therefore recommends the investigation, the NDP therefore recommends the investigation of the possibility of flexible systems of land use for different kinds of farming on communal lands." We agree with that. In conclusion, Chair, the costs of this bill are not unduly prohibitive. There will be survey costs, there will be transaction costs, and there will not have to be any land bought because the land already vests with the state. So the achievement of this proposal would not cost the state unduly. I so move, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll stick to the procedure, honourable members. I know it sometimes gets tempted to members to start, engaging substantively on the, presentation. But can I beg you to go for clarity-seeking kind of question, just to make sure that we understand clearly, so that when we deliberate on our own time, will then be able to make substantive, decision. Any clarity seeking question, kind of, Honorable Kubai?
Thanks, Chair. Let's welcome the presentation made by Honorable Trollip on this critical matter. And others might tend to say it's a sensitive matter, noting that in other neighboring countries, what issues of land does. Just to check, Honorable Trollip, noting that you are also a member of the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and that is also responsible for issues of land. Because I'm noting that your proposal came much earlier that you had submitted, and if in the process within the Portfolio Committee, because we will be looking at that, if there's anything, there's not been any indication from the department, from your understanding of what they are trying to do, or have you looked at whether if they are intending to introduce, I know the green paper process, if they are not addressing some of these issues that you are raising here, so that when we come to the point of deliberation, we know where we stand, especially taking advantage that you are here today. Thanks.
Chairperson, the Green Paper on Rural Development and Land Reform deals with many issues around land reform, which essentially means that the state will acquire strategically located land to locate previously disadvantaged and dispossessed people. That's what that piece of legislation primarily looks at. But what it doesn't look at is dealing with the security of title of people residing on communal areas. Even the stakeholder groupings have been grouped into six different groups to look at that piece of legislation. And the one stakeholder grouping of traditional leaders, the department is even proposing that that gets considered after the other five components of that legislation. Hence, they want to implement legislation on a piecemeal basis emanating from that green paper. Our concern is that it does nothing and says nothing to the reform of feudal land ownership and the insecurity of title of people living on the land. Now, Chair, I do know that the sensitivity around this is that once you give people title of land that reside in poor rural areas, there might be the temptation to transact that land and to sell the land and alienate it in order to get some money, because so if poor people want access to money, the easiest way to do that is to alienate their land, get money, and then find themselves without any home or any space or anywhere to live. That is a concern. But equally, it empowers people. Title of land empowers people. It allows them to leverage capital to buy a tractor, to educate a daughter, to make their land work for them. And ownership secures title, so it can never be taken away from you. It can't arbitrarily be taken away from you. If it wants to, if the state needs it for any reason, they use the Expropriation Act to get hold of that piece of land. So I don't believe, Honourable Kabaye, that the Green Paper deals with the actual transformation or reform of the feudal land tenure system in communally held land.
My Honourable...
Thank you. One of the reasons given for the unconstitutionality of Clara, you said, is there was no proper consultation. Did I hear you well? Were there no public hearings and the like? Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, the courts found, it's not my finding, the courts found that the public hearings and also the consultation with the provinces, because this affects all provinces that have traditional or communal land where they were former homelands or Bantustans, so-called Bantustans, that the provinces were not consulted by Parliament when they enacted the legislation. That was part of the technicality of why the legislation was then rejected. But the point I was stressing was that there were four groups of people that lived in rural areas that were the applicants to the court to have the legislation turned down, because they too felt that their voices had not been considered and taken into account in the public hearing process and their concerns.
Any further questions? It looks you are comfortable or honourable. But
no, Chairperson, I don't think I have a question. It takes me back in time because I remember I was part of Clara. And I feel bad and good that it was rejected in one way or the other. And I can hear Utatu Altros saying, basically because provinces, some provinces were not consulted. But having said that then, Chairperson, for me, I would just simply say we have to look into this and invite accordingly the department or the minister to look into this matter. I'm saying this because I did bounce on him on this particular matter, which then is not for now, because it was out of the meeting, that we have to call the minister if possible and look into this particular matter. That would be my proposal, Chairperson.
To check, Honourable Trolley, looking at the status of South Africa as we are talking now, economically, and the point that we have, of course, acceded to, that being characterized by the poor rural communities, there is this danger of possible, disposal of the land in securing whatever they would want to. In your own view, do you have any mechanism that we may explore in medicating that to make sure that we don't find ourselves? I'm sure you'd know that in South Africa, no banks is owned by South Africans, and therefore immediately people are taking land, to use as a collateral to the banks. You immediately start thinking about recolonizing South Africa through, a good will, of course. How are we going to balance that if it then becomes, a challenge that we envisaged?
Chippers, I think it's a very good and vexing question. Banks loan people money with money that other people invest with them. And obviously there are not enough people in this country that are in a capacity to invest with banks. So they take foreign investment and loan it to people who want to use it in this country. That's just an international phenomenon. That's how it works. But if I can answer your question through experience, Chair, I visited Taiwan. And Taiwan is an island country, very small island. I mean, about the size of Umzimkulu. A mountainous island with very little alluvial or agricultural land. And when the Japanese colonized Taiwan and built canals and started planting rice for their own people, using Taiwanese people as labor tenants, there was some manuscripts written by the Japanese to say that the Taiwanese were lazy, incompetent, illiterate, and untrainable. And once they threw off the yoke of colonization by the Japanese, they reformed the feudal land tenure system that was held in by landlords and gave people title to their land. Those that didn't want to make a living on the land or saw there were greener pastures in the cities left, but they transacted their land and sold it to a neighbor who wants to expand and then went to the city with something in their pocket. Whereas in this country, we see people leaving rural areas because they're impoverished, the opportunities are limited, they don't have access to all the things that they require. So they leave rural areas and they go and seek greener pastures in the cities. And that's a phenomenon. We've got some of the highest or most accelerated urbanization in the world in South Africa. And they go there with nothing in their pockets, absolutely nothing. And they live under a piece of plastic in the bush. Now, to me, that's the remedy of allowing people to take something somewhere else and to start a life. Because, and also, if you own something, you take care of it. I mean, I could give you a million examples of where people own property that they take care of it. Where people don't own it, all you've got to do is let your house to somebody for a couple of months and see what it looks like when you get back. So, that's my answer, Chair. There are examples across the globe where entitlement brought economic growth and prosperity.
Thank you very much.
We will then take this for our own deliberation at the appropriate time. But the last question is related to administrations. You said, Clara, one way also, Honorable Bem, we're saying good and bad for being, unconstitutionally declared. But Clara itself created what it calls land administration, structure, which amongst other it was saying in rural communities where the traditional council is in operation in terms of the traditional leaders and governments framework act should then be, responsible for that administration. The requirement of the establishment of the councils that are referred to the traditional leaders and governance framework act, it dictated that one third of that structure should then be women. How do you then arrive at women interest might not be, looked into if that is the structure in place put up by, Act 41 of 2003? As I've been quoting it.
You see, Chairperson, that's why it's very important that when I read, I quoted, because, These aren't things that come out of my throat. These are the people that went to the courts and said, we believe that our rights are going to be undermined. Have a look at the submissions of at least 20 civic organizations, rural women initiatives. They're the people who are saying it. I can't come here and speak for people. We can speak on behalf of people. We can't speak for people. And they were the people who went to the courts and challenged that they thought that their rights were going to be undermined. So we must take that into consideration. I'm not a woman. So all I can do is quote the people who went to court and petitioned the court, and the court made a ruling.
Sure, you would understand when we are seeking clarity, we ask out of what we have said. Of course, I cannot go and then get somebody to tell me. I listen and I ask out of what you have said yourself. Honorable Van der Berg, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, how interesting I'm finding this debate and the questions and the answers given by Honorable Trollope. I just, on a point of order, wants to say I don't think it is for this committee to discuss the merits of the proposal. That should be discussed by the relevant committee that the House might refer those proposals to. My understanding has been that even before I arrived at this committee,
I thought you were raising one point of order.
Yes, my point of order, Chair, is that we must consider these proposals in terms of the criteria, the six criteria that
we are not yet at the level of considering. We are seeking clarity so that when we consider, we are well informed by the sponsor. So we are trying to make sure that we get the position of the sponsor.
I accept your ruling on this point of order, sir.
I do believe that there's a legislative proposal. It seems that a lot of thinking has gone into it. It is now for this committee to, in terms of the rules, determine if there are any issues that would be forthcoming from the relevant committee department, and that we would have to consider that. So therefore, I would like to support the notion that we actually have the next round of information on this matter should be engagement with the minister and the relevant department, as well as in terms of the rules, we can consult the relevant committee, as we always do, but fortunately, we are not compelled to wait for them to give us feedback, because the rules have been amended to make provision for us to just say we may consult them, and if they don't respond in time, then we can in any case proceed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Does this mean you have exhausted your clarity-seeking question, if I were to get it? Because she's far, beyond where we were supposed to. I thought you are still getting clarity. If you are satisfied, then we can move to the next level. Honorable Kumar.
No, Chairperson, it is outside the clarities. I was just sitting here and looking at the at the pages that is missing out of the document. I was just requesting if we can just get the missing document so that when we look and at our own spare time, have all the pages to get the sense of the matter as he was reading out of it. Thanks, Honourable.
I think he did send us the one he is having. I saw it on my software. But in my file, they put the initial, submission. Is there, you will just be, get it. I'm sure they will recirculate it amongst ourselves if it wasn't. I want to believe that it looks like everybody is satisfied that you understand the presentation. So we will then thank the Honorable Trollope, and would then give you a date for deliberation on the matter. All you need to do is to do your own research and get other information so that when we deliberate, you also add value into, the deliberation on facts, not personal. We should move away from personalizing debates. I know in the documents that it's reading, while it's a private member legislative proposal, he referred to DA, which might make other parties to start, debating on the party, line instead of, members' legislative proposal. I'm warning it because I know these are you know, some of the temptation that might come to say, but this is a DA, it's not a personal membership, you know, a private member's legislative. You need to understand that our parliament is constituted through party politics. It might be very difficult to draw a straight line to say, don't be linked to politics. You will, you know, from time to time sound to say, COOP, IFP, and other parties that are existing in Parliament. So yeah, we will then have to take it on that note, and we will invite all the necessary stakeholders to make their necessary submission leading us to our deliberation. Thank you very much, Honorable Trolley. If you've got other businesses, you are free to go and join them. But if you are free, you can still stay in the meeting. You are welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I am going to leave you, and once again, thank you for the opportunity for bringing a legislative proposal to this committee. Next time when I come with a private members bill, Chair, I'll try and maybe come with a private members bill to have members of Parliament paid more, and then we could just speedily accept it all. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Can we then move to the next agenda item? Committee annual report. I'm sure I want to believe it is circulated amongst all of us if we were to look at it. So this one, this is the one I'm talking about. Maybe if you were to consider the ones that you find them on your table, it's much accurate than the one you had it overnight. But it's not that much different. No, I think even the one in your files, you can still use it. It's the same. I've been informed. Anything on page one?
Chief, just one word. The last paragraph there, the first sentence, throughout 2011, the committee endeavoured to give expression to the committee's vision, its consideration of the legislative proposals. I think if we could just add the word in its consideration of the legislative proposals brought by individual members of Parliament. Just add the word in between vision and it.
Page two. Page three. Page four.
And if we need an alternate, then we follow up. And if we pull in, after the morning, the country government can follow alternate or honor it being but if you don't say, but not follow the alternate.
I should assure you, Honorable Mdaka, that the matter will be finally attended to and that you'll get your...
The matter has been attended to, Chair. The letter has been sent to the... There are processes, so the letter has been sent to the Speaker's office because it needs to be done through the Speaker's office so that this matter is corrected. Thanks.
Thank you. The matter, as I've said, will definitely be attended to.
Thank you.
thank you, Chairperson. I actually understood what the honourable member meant, and I just wanted to ask a question for clarification. Does it mean that the ANC has two alternate members, but in this case there is a swap of the members that must take place because there are seven permanent members and then two alternate members? Is that the position? Can we just have clarity? Because in the case of the DA, I noticed that they have two permanent members. In our case, just because it's only one delegate, we always just try to make sure that we have an alternate. And the same, I suppose, in the case of the IP, although that is not a requisite in terms of the rules. Is that what I understand?
I'm sure if you calculate in terms of members on the list, there are members who have been with the committee as of the 1st of April 2011. And some of the members are no longer members of the committee as by the end of the 31st of March 2012. So there are some changes. However, the process will be finalized by the party itself. I'm sure we can attest to that.
Yeah, Chair, just to indicate, I think what has been raised is correct. Because if you look at the report, it reflects that April 2011. And at that time, if you put Honorable Mtaka from 2011, if she's an alternate, you would have had less members of ANC who would have been permanent. I think that's where the concern is, and hence the issue. Because at that time, Bengu and Kimbi were not members of the committee. They came later. So you would have members of the ANC who were seven. And then what we tried to do was to add more two people, to make sure that we have two alternates in the ANC in case, because we had experienced issues of quorum, so that you are able to have more people. But I think that needs to be corrected. And that's what I'm saying, for permanent and going forward, we have written to the Speaker's office.
Chair, just going forward, I think what we should perhaps do, because this is always going to be sort of moving in and moving out, and if we list under the year under the review, then we could say so-and-so until such and such a time, such as the DA, and so with effect from. So in the case of Honourable Ndaka, for instance, it would argue that she was originally an alternate, and with effect from so-and-so, she would move to a permanent member, you know, that type of thing. Otherwise, it could be confusing if you have a whole list of members and there are changes. It looks, you know, what is the membership of the committee really?
I think we'll make sure that it gets polished and tells you from what time is this member and then when was changes and all this kind of thing, so that you always comply with the number of members in the committee. Honourable Kuban.
Not sure. If you look at the report towards the end, it gives you a sense who was here. I think it's from page 20. When you look at that, it gives you the actual members as they stand on the attendance. Because you see that when we started attendance from the 1st of June, you know, this is 2011. This were the members at that time of the committee. You go to the following July to September, those were the members. And hence I said, when you look at Mamutaka has been in the committee, and the others were not even reflected at that time. So I think the summary, that's what is confusing, the summary of page 2, I think that's what is causing this confusion. Because if we have this last pages of the 20s, they are able to tell you exactly who has moved in and who has moved out in terms of the attendance until the time you ended with the report, and which is a true reflection of what happened. And all of us can agree with what is reflected there.
Thank you. Can we then, in the light of the information given here, go to page 5? Page 6.
Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry, Chair, on page 5. Under mission statement, there appears nothing. And
I was just wondering if you would like me to try and propose a mission statement today, or whether you want us to rather, you know, go back and consider that. I'm ready to submit something, but as it stands there, I just feel we cannot approve it without a mission. Thank you.
Chair, I think members would know that that's why we took a decision to have a strike plan, because previously we've not had a strike plan. If we were to sit here and develop a mission now, it would be unfair because we have never developed a mission when we started for the year, the financial year, the reporting time. So that's why the space is empty there. So we will have a mission and our set objectives going forward after, because I think we have a session on June. Because the mission statement is something that needs to be have been agreed upon by all members for the committee to have a mission statement.
Honourable Kelly.
Chair, for now, because it does look a little odd, I just wanted to ask, can we not just then refer to our duties as a committee in terms of the rules? To dispose of and to deal with legislative proposals in terms of Rule 209, you know, because if we refer to something, at least we know where do we derive our mandate from. And then if we don't have some other fancy mission, at least then we know what have we been dealing with.
No, I think we'll take what the rules are saying about us and put it there for time being until we develop our own, you know, ones that suit all of us. But thank you for, you know, the observation and the initiative. You will recall that in the previous reports, we have been saying none, and we felt the none is undermined the work of the committee. We cannot operate without mission statement. And since we then said we would then make sure that part of the responsibility of the strategic session we are going into is to develop the mission statement of the committee.
Okay. Thank you. Page 6. Page 7.
Chair, I just wanted to refer you to the third block in the column publication date of the report in the ATC. And I just feel that if we have adopted a report, it should have been published in the ATC. Is that an error here, or is it an error on processing at the ATC desk?
The report that is default, we will correct it. It's an error on the report itself. Mm-hmm. Honourable Van der Meester.
Thank you, Chair. May I refer to something on page 7, or are you still on your way there?
Seven. Chair, the third last row and the last row, it just seems to me as if the relevant government priority, fighting crime and corruption, may perhaps not be relevant to, for example, the proposal to amend the Labour Relations Act or the legislative proposal to amend the Lotteries Act.
Come again. Fighting crime and corruption is cited as the priority. Now, I'm glad to hear that, you know, whoever thought this feels very strongly about fighting crime and corruption. But I'm not convinced that that was really the aim of those proposals, and whether this priority is in line with the proposals that were submitted. I may be corrected, but for me it seems a bit as if the typist perhaps, you know, cut and pasted something which should actually be in other rows.
and use that. Maybe you can help because you are part of this collective. When there are some of the things that you thought, it doesn't accurately reflect our position. It is us who should, you know, correct it. Honourable Kubai.
On the labour one, it's not the Honourable Fanny is correct. It's under the creation of decent work. And then on the legislative proposal to amend the Lottery Act, it is correct because it's the issues of corruption within the lottery sport and tightening up how lottery functions to avoid. So that priority remains. So it's only on the labour one that we need to change to the creation of jobs.
Thank you, Honourable Kilia.
I support Honourable Kubai. That was exactly my understanding as well.
Thank you very much. Page 8. Honourable Kilia.
I take it that it has also not been published in the ATC yet, because the column for publication is also not reflecting any date of an ATC. Can I just ask, that is the first block, you know, the first line.
No, it will be dated, it has been. Fair, thank you. Yeah, they'll check the records and put it accordingly.
Even on the... On the lottery, has it been not yet left? Or we are finalizing?
Page 9.
Chan.
Trials. Can I just ask something on the side? I know I might be taking up. Just something that I'm thinking about. I'm just looking on the Labor Relations Act proposal, page 9. Do we have a mechanism in the assembly that when somebody has proposed the legislation and that legislation being introduced, that person withdraws the proposal? We don't, ne?
Withdraw?
Mm. I'm saying, for example, we've got, in the room, we don't have some. I'm just trying to think. This the Labor Relations Act has been introduced to Parliament. And we are sitting with the legislative proposal on Labor Relations Act. I'm just thinking, maybe it's something that when we do the rules on our weekly, we'll have to look at, because then it means on the side, we might look as if as Parliament, we don't know what you're doing. Because it will be committees of Parliament doing the same thing, and then we'll write to the minister to come to us and explain if she intends to introduce when we're sitting with the legislation ourselves. Because I know, I saw yesterday that those legislations have been introduced to Parliament.
Actually, what Honourable Kubai is saying is the truth, because I'm just looking at all of this and I'm saying, but why, where is this thing currently being stalled? Should we not also consider a column for to explain the delay in the processing? Sometimes we are held up. I'm looking, for instance, at the proposal on the Electoral Act amendment. And quite frankly, I cannot recall why we have not completed everything and adopted the report and processed the report. Now, I don't know, there may be a very good explanation, and I can't recall the explanation. I think it's just important. Otherwise, we have a long list of issues that we still need to revert back to, but the status of why it is being delayed is not reflected here. Could we not also consider something like that?
Maybe also we spoke about, you know, initially we were saying not to proceed. But we said it is not correct, because if you said not to proceed, while reasons not to proceed has been, you know, agreed that in the light of this, you know, you get it. So for us to say not proceed, it doesn't go well. It's like you are just, hence, you know, sometimes this argument to say it's like you are rejecting everything, despite that there were reasons that are very, very clear to everybody that make us to arrive at a certain determination. We will see how do we then best, you know, give the real position of the committee. If it means to add remarks, you know, kind of a column, let it be the remark column, so that we explain why we have arrived at a particular determination. Honorable Bengo.
No, Chairperson, I'm not on this issue. I'm just my wife to talk to you.
Honorable Rivat.
Yeah. Chairperson, allow me to take you back a bit. On page 9, there's this legislative proposal. Introduce measures to ensure full individual security of tenure for people living under communal land tenure. Is it by Lindiwe Mazibuko or Cholip or both? Thank you.
Mazibuko proposed and withdrawn, and was then come as a new proposer from Cholip. Indeed, Mazibuko proposed the initial one, but he withdrew in between.
Just if I think it might help the member if whoever types this, just say to the program to repeat the headings on every page, because then you will see that there where it says 28-2-2012, withdrawal date. I think then it will make more sense to whoever reads this.
Thank you. Honorable Ben.
No, Chairperson, they took the wind.
Thank you. Page 13, we are running out of time if we are not going to move swiftly. 13. By saying move swiftly doesn't mean leave mistakes if you notice them. Honorable,
just on page 11, do all committees estimate the cost? Actually, we are a very cheap committee, are we not? I didn't realize that every committee must also reflect the expenditure in the committee. You know, is it an estimate? Is it catering? What is it that we are reflecting, and is it the way that all committees have to submit an annual report? I'm just asking that question so that we understand better what the position is. Thank you.
Of course. When we are saying reflecting this cost, we are looking at the holistic activities of the committee, including if we had the. No, I don't think people go to that. We are referring to your transport to wherever you happen to go. If you had strategic, meetings outside Parliament, paid for, you know, accommodation. Have, you know, study tours and all these kind of things. Thank you. You are excused. Honourable, page 14. Honourable Mlibat, thank you. Page 15.
Chair.
Thank you very much. And move that to adopt the report. Seconded by Bengo. Any objection? No objection. Thank you.
Well, I want to say thank you very much to whoever did the editing of this document since our previous meeting. The language was much improved, and it's clear somebody devoted a lot of time to that, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. The next item, which is the last, I'm sure, the minutes. I'm afraid we're not going to finish everything. I'm starting to get worried. But if you do justice, you will win. Right, page one of the minutes, only to deal with names. Then. Fortunately, there's no even alternate there, Honorable Sir. Page two.
I am an alternate.
So you are an alternate. No, that's good. So we'll wait for your debate also. Anything on page two, honorable member? Page three? Okay.
May I just ask? I was under the impression that last week we were told that 2 weeks would be the estimated time period within which the Committee on Trade and Industry would be starting to deal with this. And I think if I remember correctly, I specifically asked for this to be minuted, that was the undertaking given to this committee. It doesn't say then they will finish or complete the process, but I heard, and I was also of the understanding that was why the committee decided as it did eventually to accept this undertaking from the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry. May I therefore ask that we just minute the 2 weeks that the committee was informed by the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry that the committee would commence within 2 weeks to consider this legislation.
My understanding was
I'm wondering.
Cabinet.
The minutes are like different. On page two, the second last line. It spoke about that, to
two
say,
weeks.
In the following 2 weeks.
But the two cabinets.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, Chair, I missed that one.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mswane.
Chairperson, it is parliamentary to call other members. I see here Mrs. Babs, and the other side is Honorable. We did not call them all Honorable. Even Mr. Smalley.
But I'm sure if you look at your name's attendance, you must talk from that.
Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding has always been that honorable is when you address each other in the House or so. But when we are referring to each other in documentation, we just refer to just the title. Thank you.
Honorable. I'm sure this, of course, this thing are very tricky to be understood by everybody. On page three, anything?
Honorable
Thank you. Honorable Kumar.
Yeah, but actually, I'm just raising my hand to move for the adoption.
Ah, okay. Move up on adoption. We're going back in here. Any objection for the associate? Thank you. The last one is the one on Lotus. Anything on the report? The one pager.
Anything to be corrected there? Extra you can give while they are lost in the meeting. I've got a very big bush, these people, in their files.
Chairperson.
Honorable Fund.
May I ask the committee just to think of another word than the word feasible there in the last sentence, just before report not to be considered, that the legislative proposal of Honorable F.J. Smuller is not feasible and not to proceed with. Feasible has got for me a slightly different meaning, and I was just wondering if there's not a better word to say, not appropriate to consider at this time, or something softer, if I may call it like
a. Honorable Kelly.
Chairperson, I just want to say that I think we should stick to the criteria. And the wording that is used within those set criteria, which says, in view of the above, something to the effect that it will preempt legislation which will soon be introduced in Parliament. You know, if we could stick to that, then we do not use different terminology. That would be my recommendation.
We will look at exact wording in the rules. And of course that had to.
So something like preempt similar legislation soon to be introduced?
That's what we are saying we will do. We will give, effect the exact way why we have arrived at this particular determination and put it before, not to be proceeded. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think in the light of time and may I ask for any proposal to adopt this, Honorable Kevin? Any seconder?
With the proposed
of course,
amendment.
Honorable Bengo. Any objection for the adoption of the report? None. Thank you. The report will then be adopted with the amendments on the last, line. Thank you very much, and the meeting sent to agenda until next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
How did you do this? Hang on. I've got labor in there.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you.
yesterday, but it's not there. But,
were you here yesterday?
No. I had a wonderful time in the garden, and when I was finished, I decided that it's not there. I went to go for a second opinion. But it's only today for the first time of yours. But of course, if it were the ANC, it would have just been nothing. But because it's the DA now, it's the first time we've had a DA doing this. So now, of course, they.
But isn't
DA? Yes, because the Corsato met them and caused problems.
Yeah.
Now, but you see what he's doing? Non-violent.
Led by a man who was shocking bystanders with a taser.
What's a taser?
It's one of those electric, you know, to protect yourself.
Morning.
I was thinking of him. I haven't seen him for quite a long time.
It was not a nice feeling.
Oh, I understand.
It was not a nice feeling
mm-hmm.
to feel I missed being in the meeting.
Yeah.
I missed it. It was like my family. I needed to be there.
So when did you miss the meeting?
Last
week.
And just put my paper here and then put it.
We thought you went in for a paper case and a
I'm very strange.
No, I think that
called long time ago when I was entering here. She was on her way out.
She doesn't even sign. Does she even use
no,
our embassy?
No,
okay. You still busy with it?
Yes, I'm busy with it. Yes, I'm busy with it. Please. Nothing on blues and blues and yellows. I don't know. This is yellow and blue thing.
It's got SC security, but then it's got PC left in it. So, you see, it's got portfolio committee left in it.
Mr. Bloom. Is this a chairperson? No. They're all the chairperson at the ANC.
Yeah,
eh?
All the
chairperson. All the chairperson. Oh.